Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the GSMC Technology Podcast. It is a Tuesday, and I am Tom Doherty, your host. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. Today, after the announcement of the GDPR, which is the data protection regulations that they are releasing over across the overseas in the UK, the European Union coming out with these new regulations, that is kind of having these ripple effects as we're seeing across the world, actually, across around the whole globe. Even here, every time I log into a new social media or a new tech website or whatever it may be, there is a new privacy policy and such that shows their compliance to this new laws that are coming in, all these regulations, the GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Regulation that the European Union has put into place. It was implemented a couple of days ago, last Friday. So what does that mean? What does this do for all these tech companies? I know a lot of tech companies aren't really, they've already had major lawsuits come out. We'll do that. We'll talk about that more probably in the last segment there after we get through the stuff regarding Amazon Alexa, which is another scandal coming out right now regarding the fact that Alexa is listening in on your conversations throughout your house. And then also some stuff regarding the new iPhones that'll be coming out in the fall as well, with some news coming out for the iPhones for next year as well too. So we'll be going over all of that this show here. And starting off with the Alexa stuff, I know that there's a lot of question marks regarding all the, what is she listening to? I know that I kind of understand why she has to listen to stuff. You do prompt her with your voice when she has to be listening at all times to have to listen to Alexa. Whenever you say Alexa, to be prompted, but she doesn't have to be recording, but she is recording. And there was a new story that was out last week regarding a family in Oregon, I believe, that was having an argument, and their whole argument was recorded on Alexa, and then it was sent via email to their neighbor's house, and their neighbor got an email with an audio file recording of this argument. So there's different ways. We'll go over the ways to keep Alexa from listening to you, but yes, she is listening right now. I'm gonna call her she, of course, because I mean it's kind of awkward that way, but I mean that's the way it's going on right now. It's the fact that it is listening to your conversations. I bet you some of the smart speakers are going to do that too. If that's what we're calling them, smart speakers, or these home smart home devices, whatever you want to call them, whether it's the Google Home or Alexa or the Apple HomePod or whatever it may be. But it looks like that we're getting more and more reports that these are coming out, and we're getting coming out that regarding these little eavesdropping issues with Alexa. I know they think that they hear maybe whether it's being prompted, you hear here's Alexa and then it starts recording after that, or it's just always going to be recording no matter what you say, it's going to be prompted or not is the question. I know that Amazon wants to come out and whoa, here, we're not trying to eavesdrop on everybody, we're just it's just the function that it's sitting in right now. But you can also go in and see what it has recorded on you. Obviously, there's an app that is connected to the Alexa app, connected to Alexa. So it looks like you're going to just go to that Alexa app. You can go into the settings area of that app and get on history, and it'll tell you exactly what you've been saying. I know that it'll record every time you've interacted with Alexa, and been telling it to do certain things regarding what functions you want it to do. But whether it heard Alexa or not to begin with, I know it could be the fact that, oh, it confused something you said with Alexa. Like, you know, obviously you just say Alexa, it'll start like listening to you. It could say, it misheard something else as Alexa, and it started recording something completely mundane and had nothing to do with a task that you wanted it to complete. And you can go look that up in your phone, and you can also delete that as well. So it looks like that they're trying to be a little more transparent with that. I know that this isn't really coming out from Amazon itself, but there are reports out giving you different ways in order to go see what it's been listening to, and another thing, as well as ways to keep it from eavesdropping you as well. I'm sure you go into those same settings on your phone, as well as different ideas as for, it says turning up the volume, as well as just kind of keeping it, being maybe enunciating a little more as well when it comes to how you say Alexa in certain ways, obviously. You can also set it to a different word that won't be confused as well as much as Alexa would be. Apparently, that's the issue we're seeing now, is the fact that, like I said, Alexa thinks that you're saying Alexa, and you're not. You're saying something different. So you could definitely say, you can set it to have a different word that will prompt it to start listening to you. Another thing, turning up the volume of it, saying set up your Alexa, you can also turn off its access to your contacts on your phone, so you could turn off the calling and messaging function as well, and you could just turn it off when you're not using it, obviously. If you're having a party or something, you don't want it to be listening, you can just turn it off. You can also set it to no voice purchases, whether, I know that's another thing, I've been talking to some people, and I know people who, you can password protect your Alexa, as well as you can just set it to where you can't order things on Amazon through Alexa with voice purchases. So I've heard of stories of people going into their friends' houses or whatever it may be, and just telling their Alexa to order, like, a big boxes of food or something, or cookies or whatever it may be, random things that was have sent to their house, and all of a sudden these people are just getting hundreds of few boxes of crackers or whatever it may be. You can order from, obviously you can order whatever you, pretty much whatever you want off Amazon, whether it's food or not. But you can, you know, people have going in and starting, kind of, I would call it hacking, it's just kind of taking advantage of the fact that it's sitting there, and you'd be like, hey Alexa, order this and this, and have it sent to me. Like, if your credit card is linked to your Amazon account and your Alexa is linked to your Prime account, then boom, it's going to happen. You're going to get an order that you didn't really think of. So you can change that, changing it, saying no to voice purchases as well. You can change the function that it's going to be. It's called the drop-in function. So you can turn off your drop-in function, and it will basically. It doesn't give warning when somebody's trying to drop in. You can decline the visit. So whether it's you can just set the drop in feature off, and or just have it to contacts only in your Alexa app when you go to the communications settings on your Alexa app as well. And so these aren't really ways where it's just like, stop listening, Alexa. Like, I know my family has one of these, and I was visiting, and it's over there. It's like, oh, we're just going to tell Alexa. I'm like, I don't think it really works that way. You can't just tell Alexa to stop listening. You got to go in and actually do something to it. I know Amazon was all excited with it. It's like, oh, you don't have to have a coding degree. You can just set Alexa to do whatever you want. You can have all these preferences and stuff, and have it react to different jokes, and have different jokes for different people, have them assigned to different people, different routines and stuff. And now it's like, oh, by the way, it's actually listening to everything you're saying. It might confuse the fact that you said Alexa and start listening to what you're saying and have this whole conversation recorded, and you can go look back on what you've been talking about in your history. So it's kind of interesting how that's now coming out, and we're seeing more and more news stories. I mean, go watch a lot of your local news, or some of it's made to a national cycle, but mostly local news reporting on the fact that Alexa is recording some weird details about your life, and it might be sending them over to your neighbors. So, I mean, it can be creepy for sure, because the fact that you can go on your phone and actually see that there's a recording of what you're saying. I know that sometimes they have text available, like it will actually transcode what you're saying or you can just actually play and listen back to a conversation that it had either accidentally, quote unquote, accidentally recorded, that it did because you were just saying it, you were messing with your. I know there's times where we can just mess with the Alexa app and just start thinking that you're asking a bunch of questions, and then all of a sudden it's recording an entire conversation that you're talking about. When you're talking about Alexa, but yeah, no, it's definitely creepy. Obviously, when you purchase something like this and you have you're an owner of a smart device like this, you are entering into a, you can say you take responsibility as an owner. You have a certain knowledge that you are doing or working with something like this technology that has a listening device on it, a microphone that you think that maybe just be doing it for your best interest, but maybe not. I think it's the fact that you only have to say one word is the Alexa thing, and what, you know, obviously we say Alexa. So I think that, like I said, that one of those options in order to keep it from listening is changing that wake word. So I think you can change it to two or three words in succession. It's harder to, obviously harder to mistake that and start recording for no reason. I think I've even heard, I know sometimes when you say like, "Hey Siri," Okay, I just said, "Say hey Siri," and it just turned on my phone and it started to listen to me. But if you say "Sirius," sometimes it'll work too. Like, you can change it to something different. And same thing with Alexa. You can change it to something different versus, the Google has the "Hey Google" or whatever it may be. So you can change your wake word to something else. Might be a little helpful for you. But look, I know there's a lot of different things. I know it's for Amazon will say it's for quality assurance. You can go back and look at that. You can tell you they kind of get feedback from Alexa. It's like if you go back and look at the Amazon Alexa app, which I need to think. I'm going to see if I have that on my phone for the one at home. I have the Amazon Alexa app right here. You can go back and look at the history. Let's see. I think it might be, they're thinking it's probably for, I think it's probably for quality assurance. Maybe it'll say, "Did Alexa do what you wanted it to do?" All right, hold on. We're looking at let's go look at this history on my device. Let's see if it actually has, let's look at that. Drop-ins on, and you turn that off probably. It says history, but I'm not seeing history on here. So you can change the wakeboard. That's really really easy. Looks like you just go in on, click the different devices for that. Oh, there it is, history. Yeah, see, now it says text not available, Alexa. See, I could see where we try to turn Alexa off. This is actually pretty funny, listening to what it says. But it looks like it's recording some things. But I mean, you can even tell some things are not weren't prompted from just Alexa. I know I could see where my dad is trying to play some music, but it's weird. Some of the things weren't actually prompted by the Alexa name. It was just we're just saying something. So maybe it might be, like I said, we could be recording at all times, but most of it was prompted by an Alexa. But yeah, you can, go look. I advise you to go look at your Alexa app. I know some people buy these things and just plug them in and you start using them. You sync it to your app like you're supposed to, like that's how you set it up, obviously. But I advise you, go look at the Alexa app. There's lots of different things on here that's going to probably answer a lot of questions regarding your Alexa, your Amazon Echoes, whether you have the Dot or the Tower or whatever. And go look at the Alexa app. And it's actually pretty interesting how you can connect it and look at some of this history regarding it. And obviously, changing those wake words. You can always do the skills and the routines and stuff like that. We talked about that on the show a bunch. But going and changing those wake words, turning off the drop-in stuff and what have you, and going and making these things a little less maybe human, where it's just listening to you, and more of a assistant device versus something that it could be eavesdropping on your conversations. So that's what we got to do with your Alexas. I said, go look at those Alexa apps. Like I said, you can go into your contacts. You can turn off certain things. It'll even has the things to try scenario. I bet you now with this new these new privacy acts that are coming out, even overseas, they're going to be changing it a lot for even over here. So be aware of that and be on the lookout for some more literature that will come out, some more of these reviews or what have you. Maybe even Amazon will come out with a press release regarding things to troubleshoot your issues, as they're having already some lawsuits come their way. So that'll wrap up this segment, as we will come back after the break with some talk on the new iPhones and some changes we might be seeing to the iPhones this year and next year. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Ooh, welcome back to ESMC Technology Podcast, segment number two, as we are going to do some talk on the iPhone and what to expect come this fall. I know that Apple will be coming out with a cheaper version, smaller version of the of a new iPhone that is going to be having these LED screens or LCD screens. I know also the more expensive ones will have these OLED screens with the new iPhone X Plus. And then even next year, we're going to be having all the new iPhones will be coming out with the OLED screen. As I mean, price, it's a combination of price point and, you know, newest tech. Obviously, you don't want to pinhole people into, I think Apple's finally getting into this realm, this kind of mindset where they're not trying to pinhole people into spending all this money on a new phone. That they lowered the cost of, they announced a more affordable iPad. They're announcing a more affordable iPhone. I think people are trying to, we're getting to this point now here where everything's all teched up to the nines, and I think people are trying to get a little overwhelmed by that stuff. So we're kind of trying to dial it back a tiny bit and make it more, just go for more affordability than having to come out with the next big thing. I know that obviously last year with the iPhone X, there was some major advancements. They got getting rid of the Touch ID, getting rid of the whole home button in itself, and adding in the Face ID and having a full top to bottom screen kind of thing, like just that notch. I know the notch was a big deal, and you even saw that kind of reiterated in the fact that all of these Android phones pretty much copied it and threw the created a notch on their phones as well. But with the whole Face ID generation now, we're going to get into the fact where I think most of these phones are going to be without a home button. I know they are going to be releasing a smaller, like I know the a smaller phone, whether it's the iPhone 8 or something similar to what we saw with the SE, where it's kind of going back to that small, the 4S size or whatever size that was, the more boxy versus the more rounded edges that we're used to seeing now with these skinnier phones. But in this new market, it is definitely a chance to increase the options, basically create more options for people. And don't keyhole them into having to... Well, I mean, you're not going to keyhole anybody. People are pretty much going to buy what they want to buy. But as far as the iPhones are concerned, there's definitely going to be some changes coming up in the next couple of years regarding the new, you know, just the options you're going to have with the screens and price points and such versus having to... Or you could be even getting... something even better. Obviously, you can always spend $1,000 or whatever it is for the iPhone, the new iPhones. But looks like that, like I said, next year, 2019 will be the year every phone will be getting this OLED screen. The iPhone X that came out last year was the first phone that's going to be that had the OLED screen. Obviously, it is at a certain price point where, I mean, to be expected. But as far as these the new phones, it's going to be a phone next this year with the LCD that's going to be a little cheaper, and then next year will be everything will have that OLED screen, which is going to be kind of revolutionizing this. We're seeing going to see it from all these new phones, whether it's going to be increasing the ability for the wireless charging. I know that the obviously we saw with last year the changes to the iPhone 10 were the fact that they got rid of the aluminum backing to the phone and added a glass backing that made it compatible for already compatible for wireless charging. So we'll probably be seeing that with most of the new phones coming out this year as well. Apple seemingly is leading the way as well with all this stuff, as they are going to be. I mean, we've already been seeing kind of copycats. They're leading the way in all these new functions. As now I'm even seeing reports that came out today, the fact that Apple could be looking into ways to get a screen that will wrap around the sides of the phone, and looking at wraparound displays and touch and sensitive bezels for the next iPhone. It's obviously the newest. You got to come out. There's always got to be change. I think I'm seeing other articles regarding how they're going to change the... how they're going to change it, where the notch and taking away the notch, but you're still going to have an area to put the front-facing camera for the Face ID, as well as the brightness sensors. And there's another sensor, you know, turns off the screen when it's close to your face and everything like that, as well as the speaker, because it is a phone still, and then you need to be able to hear out of the top of it when you're talking to somebody. But it looks like that with the OLED phones on the new ones, they're going to be looking at these wraparound displays, as well as touch sensitive controls, instead of having to actually have tactile buttons like we have now regarding when it comes to, you know, turning off the phone. I think that's one of the bigger things also with the phone, whether they're going to keep this lock button and the microphone buttons on the sides with these big with the actual buttons on them, or they're going to be changing them to more of a touch, you know, kind of a touch button to turn it off and on and off your phone, or change the toggle the volume for you. But that's all kind of now in the R&D as Apple is looking at this. Obviously, they did patent something with the U.S. Patent Office back in 2016 regarding this a flexible, more grounded panel that is going to, and a housing that would support a wraparound function of having a screen that goes around the sides of the phone as well. So they do have the ability to do it, as well as the legal property available for them to do that as well. Going back really quick, I did kind of get lost on the fact that with this whole Amazon Alexa stuff, I did want to report the fact that there is an LG TV now, going back to Alexa really quick, that will be compatible with Alexa, as the LG's 2018 TVs will now be working with Alexa as well. Obviously, smart TVs really meant internet connectability. Obviously, you could pretty much turn any TV into a smart TV these days with the Amazon Fire Stick Google Chrome Stick as well. There's also the Apple Home devices as well. So Apple TV as well, to make that work. But now it's all going to be built in. You're going to have Alexa built into your TV. So hopefully another reason for you guys to go look at your Amazon Alexa apps and maybe adjust some things to where she doesn't listen to everything, or you have a different wake word. I think it's really the key is changing that wake word. Alexa, they probably have it set to where it doesn't need to hear the whole thing, where it'll pick up fragments of words and think that you're saying Alexa when you're really not. And whether it's a issue with the listening abilities of it, or it's just too sensitive, go and change that wake word for Alexa. And especially if you're going to get one of these LG TVs, it's going to be built in, as you're going to have the Amazon compatibility with the Echo Show and the Echo Plus, as you're going to be able to, you know, tell Alexa to toggle channels, volume, browse content. You can do private YouTube streams, all these other things, as all through the power of talking to your voice as well. So looks like that these LG TVs, obviously you can always use them with the Google Assistant, as they already are available with that. they can now take it as a, okay, we did report, I think a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Amazon or Google Assistant is available with multiple times, I mean, multiple meaning 5,000 different devices that you can use the Google Assistant with to use your voice. And I mean, I can't wait till these smart displays come out with, when you have, basically it's going to be like, it's going to look like a Google Home. Like, you know, those iHomes used to have a kind of longer rectangular ones, but there's a more horizontal display with the speakers on the outsides and then a little screen in the middle. So actually your Alexa will now have a face. Your Google Assistant will now have a face for it to kind of interact with you with, and it'll be able to show you different things on this screen. That'll be pretty interesting, as well as the fact that it has the ability to talk to you or listen to your deepest, darkest secrets, whatever it may be. Again, go look at your settings on Alexa. All right, going back to the iPhone stuff, I know that the phones, every September we come out with these phones, and whether we're going to be having some updates to Siri. I know I did talk about that last week with Siri and the changes that will be made to its functions and the increase in AI. I know that with the Google Duplex and the fact that I know we already, and Microsoft has now come out with the news that they have had a ability to make these phone calls to other places, you know, have an AI kind of control everything for you, or not everything, but make phone calls and create appointments and make reservations for you. I could do that. But now Google Duplex kind of showed it off a little bit at the Google I/O two weeks ago, wasn't that? Microsoft had come out and said, oh yeah, we already have an AI. I just saw a Microsoft AI commercial, first time ever. I just come out with that randomly. And then, of course, last week we talked about how Siri will likely get some additions to her capabilities. I say her again, capabilities regarding this AI stuff and different functions that she will now have for you readily available on the next iOS update that will be coming out as well with the phones down in September. All right. We're going to talk about this GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, in the next segment, just to kind of give you guys a run through on that. So I do want to take the last few minutes of this segment to keep talking about Apple and how it will be making some changes coming up this at the end of this year. Obviously, like I said, they're changing a little bit when it comes to the fact that you're making things more affordable. They're trying to also adjust and make changes, obviously seeing that they are kind of the forefront in the technology now with the updates. So we have all these other phones, and the OnePlus phone has the OLED coming out as well. But they're kind of the first ones. We got to figure out how to mass produce these things and make them affordable as well, as we don't want to come out with the first $1,500 phone or $1,200 phone or whatever it may be. The thing is with phones is that you're also connecting it with a certain carrier. So I think everything now with these phones is the fact that you can pay it off over a certain month or whatever. It's through your carrier, through Verizon or AT&T or whatever you have, which is pretty much, it seems like now it's only two. Are we waiting on Sprint and T-Mobile to merge? Or they're still waiting on the other thing to happen too? So on the AT&T and Time Warner Cable is tied up in court. They're waiting for that to happen. So quickly, it just came across the little reporting toggle thing here. The Samsung Galaxy Note 9 is now being tipped or leaked or whatever you want to say, that it's going to have 8 gigabytes of RAM and 512 gigabytes of storage. I mean, these are big phones. Obviously, they're rivaling the iPhone Plus phone line, as this is the Samsung Galaxy Note 9. As this is kind of whether this is true or not, this is kind of a leak, as it will be 8. That's almost like a laptop. 8 gigs of RAM. I think my laptop, I think my Apple MacBook Air had 8 gigs of RAM on it, and 512 gigabytes of storage, of native storage. I mean, the largest iPhone right now was like 164 gigs. Now 512. it's basically like having a tablet as your phone, basically, as these Galaxy Note 9s, as they'll be coming out. Obviously, the S10 will be coming out as well. The launch dates as well as these. We're seeing possibly the Note 9 a month earlier, as early as August for the Note 9. And then the as the Samsung Galaxy S10 coming a month later as that. So we already saw the announcement with how they're going to be doing certain things on the new phone. I've seen also a in-display fingerprint sensor. Yes, that's another thing we're going to see changes, how they're going to meld different functions into the screen. Obviously, they're going to have to do that when they get rid of this notch in a couple of years with the iPhone as well. But it looks like Samsung is also messing with an idea where they're going to be putting a fingerprint sensor actually in the screen versus having a separate toggle, separate button for it underneath. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up with our smartphone segment here. We did a little bit talk on, I know did kind of throw in a little Amazon thing in there as well, but with the iPhones, the news on the Samsung Galaxy S9 Note, that Note 9 that will be coming out in August. Looks like this S10 will be coming out in the month after that, which is around the same time the iPhones come out as well. So Galaxy S9 did score better than iPhone 10, apparently, in the rankings, but the iPhone 10 was still the best-selling iPhone, was still best-selling smartphone on the market, but we'll be seeing how the next line of these guys come out at the end of this year as well. So we'll come back with some talk on the GDPR before we go to the last segment and just kind of bounce around different news. I think I'm going to go into some stuff with some gaming stuff. I know PS4 is in the news still right now, as well as some stuff on Fortnite. So we'll do that when we come back, so stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Oh, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast, as we are going to do some talk on the new general data protection regulation that was put into effect last Friday by the European Union that has some sweeping effects here in the United States as well. We're already seeing some companies get involved with lawsuits. I think that these tech companies, like, oh, no big deal. We're just it's just a combined. I think I saw something like 5.4 billion euros already. We're seeing with this these lawsuits, but no problem. But as far as what it's going to be doing, the regulation on the, this is going to be for European Union law, but we've already seen tons of privacy policies and changes to terms and service of whatever social media thing you're going to go be going on to. Twitter is kind of having a bunch of stuff. Twitter's notification thing was like, oh, it's all in your hands now. Like, you know, it's all you guys. But yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see how much how much pushback we're going to see from these tech companies regarding this this change. With these ones, obviously the ones that are multinational are the ones that are going to have issues and such, because of the fact that they're going to be having to make changes not only in the UK but also over here, just to make everything uniform. As we're going to want to see that. But regarding what the actual does, it's going to be a regulation. It's a data protection and privacy for all individuals in the European Union and in the European Economic Area. It will also address how the exportation of personal data outside of that area will be managed, as well as it's going to be controlling different things and giving more control back to the citizens and residents over their personal data. Basically, making these companies create more of a transparent feed of information regarding their stuff and their data. Basically, it's like, oh, we're going to do this to your data. We're going to do this to your data. We want to be just more forthwith. And I know that tech people are probably like, but the PR people who think that this is going to be an issue, they're probably, you'd be surprised to know that they're going to be okay with it. It is actually a little bit better of a, I mean, it's kind of forcing these companies to be more forthwith, and it's going to be forcing them to be more transparent and with what they're doing. Obviously, they don't want to, because that's how they'll make a lot of their money, is through our data and selling our data or transferring it whatever way they need to do it in order to help with the advertisers or whatever their main revenue service is. But these the PR people, public relations people are more okay with it than you think, because of the fact that it's a little bit better of an image for these companies, especially for Facebook or something like that, that's had this major privacy issue. It's like, okay, yeah, now we're already seeing that there's reactions to this this scandal that happened, and that there's some legislature being put into play. Not quite over here yet in the United States, but definitely overseas. And whether it's PR, putting the PR, putting public relations in GDPR is going to be pretty easy. Obviously, it's going to be only a good thing, because it's basically requiring these companies to do good by their customers and users, because they have to. It's in law. Obviously, it's going to create better images, create better different ways to put, when you're putting out different campaigns and such, like, oh, by the way, we have to, by law, we're not going to be, I mean, it is kind of a weird way to put it. Obviously, for PR people, it's like, yeah, now I don't have to convince my boss to be more PC or be more transparent about certain things. We're not going to be sneaky anymore. It's going to be all out in the open. And this is kind of forcing our hand on it as far as it goes. You know, there's definitely some PR people who are like, no, finally, we're going to get into this. Where it took an act of multinational Congress, international Congress in order, or a parliament, whatever you want to, I know it's EU as a parliament, in order to get this changed. But as far they're like, okay, finally, we're going to actually be able to do our jobs a little bit easier now. I know that different information is going to be probably under a little more scrutiny. It's going to be a little more interesting how journalism and publicists put out certain things, whether it's going to be transparency is going to be basically put across the board now, or these companies will find a new and different way to hide their deepest, darkest secrets from their users. I don't think it's going to be that bad. We're not doing some Bond villain stuff here. It's just selling phones and different tech gear and making social media better. But as far as a lot of these PR people are going to be happy, because it's definitely raising the bar for a lot of these companies, the base bar. Basically, we're raising the floor. As low as they can go is now not as low as they can go. It's we're raising it a little bit more. The jump off point, you always can do better, obviously, but the jump off point is a little bit higher now than it was, because of these regulations put in place by the European Union. Now every PR, obviously, every PR person works a little differently. It's probably a little bit different a reaction to this, but mostly people are okay with it, because it does make things a little more easier for them. They don't have to do as much cleanup, probably, because of the fact that this is going to be stopping the issue at its outset. But when it comes to these companies, obviously, they're not really that worried about it. We've already seen Facebook. People were like, "Oh, we're going to boycott Facebook. We're not going to let Facebook get in our way, or we're not going to let Facebook bully us around." People still use it. It's not really going to be they aren't going to have an issue. I know Uber just had a big sweeping PR campaign regarding how they're going to be changing their drivers. I know they've had different scandals regarding drivers and sexual assaults, different stuff like that. They got through it. They got through that. They changed a bunch of stuff on their policies and had a commercial about it. Facebook had a commercial about it. Wells Fargo had a commercial about their transgressions and their mess ups that happened within the last couple of years. So basically just create a PR commercial. And now it's going to be even easier, as hopefully this actually will stop things in their tracks and stop these scandals from happening in the begin with. But it's going to be all keeping things out in the open for people to know when their data is being used. Obviously, it is putting the user in more control of their data and having to give permissions to certain companies in order to use their information to, you know, because everything is, we want raw data. Like we talked about a lot. We talked about data a lot kind of as a vehicle to create different AI advancements, to create money making opportunities for these big companies, as that's kind of the whole point. Obviously, with the scandal we saw with Facebook, this data was being used to influence an election. There's a lot of money in that. There's data that's being used to influence advertisers and influence retail and influence what people are going to buy. It's all kind of, you know, that's why we see these Google powered ads. You go on whatever. foodnetwork.com and start looking up some different recipes. Sooner or later, you're going to see a ad from Safeway for a pasta sauce or something, or you're going to go to nike.com to go look at some new shorts or whatever. You're going to, all of a sudden, after on the next site you go on, you're going to see an ad for Nike. You're going to Amazon, you're going to go look at something you want to buy on Amazon. Next site you go on, it's going to be a little ad on the corner in the side for Amazon, because it's all powered through the data, the cookies that you have in your computer. As now it's going to be more, obviously we're seeing with these new terms and services, people are going to be more forth with and like, oh yeah, by the way, we're using your stuff in order to try and target what we're going to sell you, basically. I did want to go in on what these we're already seeing with these lawsuits coming out against these companies. I know it's, yeah, we're already at $8.8 billion for Facebook and Google in one day of lawsuits. I know it's 3.9 billion euros and 3.7 billion euros for Google, 3.9 for Facebook, but they're not really upset with it. I guess they've already come out with new policies and products to comply with the GDPR, but apparently not enough, as does not go far enough, obviously, with these lawsuits we're already seeing come out. A quote from Google says, "We build privacy and security into our products and are very, from the very earliest stage, and are committed to complying with the EU GDPR." Obviously, as Facebook has come out with the same thing, saying that they have prepared for the last 18 months to make sure that they require. Obviously, this was much, stuff didn't come out of nowhere. It's been in plans for a while over there with the European Union Parliament. But so Facebook is saying that they have put their plans in order that they have been doing for the last 18 months, apparently. But as we've already seen, that another suit was, the fourth suit for Google was filed against its operating system, the Android P operating system already, as well as we're seeing against Facebook, as well as against Instagram and WhatsApp, which are both Facebook subsidiaries. Lawsuits going against them. So yeah, it's already adding up to a bunch of money, and we'll see how those, they all come out with, as those will likely be either settled or go to court or whatever. That's a lot of money, obviously, for Google there, but we're already seeing reports that they don't really care and are kind of saying, oh, it's kind of a, I don't want to say territorial or comes with the territory kind of thing, or occupational hazard, whatever you want to say, whatever cliche you want to say. But as far as this stuff, we're going to be seeing a bunch of different enforcement come out, and maybe even more money racked up with these lawsuits. And we're already seeing one day, I said $8.8 billion. I know this was an Austrian privacy activist, Max Schrems, that was one to file a bunch of these lawsuits as well, so against Facebook and Google. All right. As we come to the end of this third segment here, we're going to come back in just a few moments and talk about a little more with the GDPR. I know Apple has some stuff coming out as well with the new HomePod 2.0. We're seeing some more reports out as well with the newest and brightest and greatest technologies to come out on these, on our markets, as well as some stuff with the Fortnite and PlayStation as well. So we'll be coming out and talking about that in the next segment. So stay tuned, and we will be right back for that.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to ESMC Technology Podcast, final segment of the day today on a Tuesday. I have been your host, Tom Doherty, as we're going to get into some stuff. Just bouncing around the tech world here as we're going to do some updates and news regarding the PlayStation and also with some Fortnite stuff as well that I want to get into. I know PlayStation has come out with we come out with the news regarding the lifespan of the PlayStation 4 and how much longer they're going to be letting it go before they decide to come out with the next console, whether it's going to be a more of a VR console or they're going to go for more of a TV stuff. It remains to be seen, but as far as now, they're going to be coming out with a annual sale as they usually do. It's going to be coming out with a limited edition of blue PS4s as well as games coming out with that as well. So it looks like they're just trying to... That's the thing. You got to give credit to these gaming companies that come out with the console that's... They can always update the console, tweak it a little bit, whether it's within the generation. But I think that the whole point of it is to sell the more units, obviously. So if they could just change the color of it and sell, hey, we're gonna put some blue paint on it and sell you a blue controller too, and then hey, you'll get some games too. So it looks like with the game deals as well, God of War is gonna be $50, Gran Turismo Sport $20, Zero Dawn $20, MLB The Show $18, $40, which is $20 off of off of base price. So more stuff. I mean, Shadow Colossus, Farpoint, Impatient, Bravo Team, all those are all the VR ones that are going to be 30, 15, and 15. Looks like I think that the whole point here is to not only to sell these consoles, but to keep the hype going a little bit as well as put a new product out there. Obviously, the whole point here is to make more money for your shareholders, obviously, but it is to create the best gaming experience you can do as well with these Sony devices. When it comes to some more games, obviously Fortnite's still a big one. Still getting more stuff regarding the fact that it's just a copycat of PUBG, or I say it was PUBG, it's PUBG, Players Unknown Battlegrounds. Regarding this stuff with Fortnite, they're doubling down and saying it's still not a clone of Player Unknown Battlegrounds. So obviously, I think it just has more life to it with Fortnite. All the fact that you're getting a lot more interaction on social media. We're seeing a lot more of these updates and releases of new capabilities, keeping it more fresh. And obviously, these changes. The whole point, we've had a picture of a comet on a little board during last season. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Oh my gosh, we didn't see that hype for Player Unknown Battlegrounds. It's still a big game, obviously, but with the whole Battle Royale concept of it, when you come into the island and it's just like, well, where am I going to land? What's going to happen? Oh, what's the change? What's this big crater? What's going to be going on? It's just definitely going to be it's different. I think that the fact that they've already had a lot of issues with the copywriting part of it, I think that it's definitely different enough to do it. But I think that the fact that you have all these options for Fortnite and all these different things you can do with the game, it's not a clone. It's too different. It's just too different. Yes, the game, the role playing is the same, but you can say the same thing. Okay, does that mean Halo Call of Duty was a clone of Halo because they're both first person shooters. No, they're different games. Obviously Players on the Battlegrounds is the same kind of thing where it's free to play online versus you go on and you have to buy. This is downloaded online. Different things. Obviously, the fact that Epic Games usually was able to kind of pivot this game off and use its own engine, its own ability to have its own itself. Whether it's all these, because there's a lot more stuff going on. It's licenses and ways the game is based off of what code you use to start the game originally. Obviously, all this base stuff. So it looks like that. PUBG basically is built on this engine that it licensed from Epic, which is the fact that it's accusing it is quite interesting. Obviously, it's licensed the fact that Players on Battlegrounds licenses its engine from Epic, which is the company that created and runs Fortnite. It's interesting to say, oh, we're licensing this thing from you, but then you're using it too, so we're going to sue you for copyright infringement. I don't know about that. That doesn't really seem very clear there. But the fact that it doesn't really have a case here, yeah. We're seeing that all these different releases and updates here from whether it's... I know that there's a big article out from Forbes right now that is calling Players on the Battlegrounds out on itself, saying, hey, you know, you're a different game, right? Like, it's not the same thing. And now that it's already taking it to court and everything, as more and more lawsuits come out regarding this issue. All right, more stuff regarding, for this last segment, regarding your tech stuff. I know that we don't really talk about cars that much on here, but I do have to talk about my one of my favorite car companies. That's Acura. I did drive an Acura MDX for a while. Fortunately, it was an older one, but it's still a great car. Could see myself doing that again. But the RDX now is going to be coming out. 2019 RDX is being redesigned. I didn't really like the body style of the first RDX that came out. It's kind of like, I know they redesigned the MDX. That's what I drove for a little bit. They redesigned the MDX, kind of make it a little more beefier, a little more wider around the edges, which I liked. The RDX is kind of weird looking. Now they redesigned that body style, make it more of like that crossover that we have been seeing a lot from these other car companies, this luxury crossover. More of a sportiness kind of to it with these cleaner lines on the front as well. It's going to be starting at a cool $38,295, which isn't terrible for an Acura. Acura is the luxury line, of course, of Honda. So you got to get in on that if you'd like. The Acura is going to have all these. Oh, and this thing is now we're seeing all these companies come out with this. We're seeing tech is the best. I know the Nissan like to say now the newest technology you have is in your driveway. So because everything is all this. We talked about self-driving cars on the show, obviously, but we haven't really gotten into the actual car companies that are just trying to make your gas-powered regular human driving cars. I know Nissan always says that we're going to keep you in the driver's seat. I know they still have the Pro Pilot Assist that's going to be helping you stay in your lane and probably has all the same things I see in the Hyundais where if you're in cruise control, you press a button and it'll slow down for you, it'll keep your distance to the car in front of you that you want, whether it's car length or two car lengths or three car lengths. But now we're seeing a lot of this from all this stuff. I know Acura, I've already driven in one that has this lane keep assist, also has the Acura watch as well. So it's going to be that emergency braking, forward collision warning, to the cruise control, like I said, and the lane keep assists as well. So, which I mean, it's kind of interesting. Lane keep assist is kind of weird because it requires you to turn your blinker on to basically lock your steering wheel in place. So where you stay straight on, and it has sensors in the front, so where it'll pick up the lines in the road and keep you in the lines on the road, basically. And then it'll lock your steering wheel. If you want to change lanes, you got to put that blinker on, and it'll unlock it. So in order for you to switch over lanes there, which is interesting. I know we're seeing a lot of stuff with this updates and technology. You know, Apple CarPlay is already a thing. We're going to see Android Auto as well, coming out as well. So whether obviously Apple already was the first one to get adapted into the cars, where you just plug it in and you can have your phone screen up on the display of the car. We're going to see that with Android as well, with the Android Auto coming out at a later date, as well as the tech one. The mid-range tech trim level starts at $41,495 for that Acura RDX. All right, that adds a add up suspension, heads up display, hands free tailgate, and the surround view camera, as well as heated steering wheel and rear seats, and ventilating front seats, which is interesting too. So that's also pretty cool. All right, going in more, as we did talk about that Samsung Galaxy Note 9 with the increased RAM, that's gonna be pretty interesting to see how they will be doing that. More stuff on the GDPR. It's also going to be helping you declutter your emails, as well as we're going to be seeing a lot of all these different email services. Obviously, we saw Google make a real whole change to its Gmail. I know Windows has redesigned the Outlook service as well, but it looks like that they're coming out. We're looking at these different company privacy emails, the privacy policy emails, and how they stack up against these other companies. I know one of the highest scoring ones was Ticketmaster, and the fact that it is changing its privacy policy and making it more personal. Obviously, when it comes to ticketing, obviously you're spending a lot of money on these, event tickets, and you want to make sure that you're data is protected. That's kind of a way, especially through tickets and things that you buy, that's a good way to track people. Oh, hey, so-and-so just bought a ticket to this concert at this time. Why don't we sell their information, or so they know, we know they're not going to be home, or we know they're going to be down there. Well, we could package that together and make it a big whole thing, where they're interested in this person, this band, this, they're going to be this venue. We're going to sell them all this stuff. We're going to put all this stuff in front of them now. But it looks like Ticketmaster now will has changed their stuff to be more of this privacy is personal. It's more of you, and it's also going to be just like your taste in entertainment. Your privacy is personal to you. That's their tagline as well. So it's going to look like they're changing up their start, as they're going to be making the big difference in their privacy pages, as it's going to be clear and honest, as well as a large action button in their privacy policy, in order to have it an open line for questions and have it more transparent. As these companies, I mean, obviously they don't want to have everything out there, but if they're going to be nudged to be more, a little more transparent, I think that we're going to have some good reactions for it as well. All right. That's just one of the companies I wanted to talk about. More of the Apple AirPlay 2. This is what I do want to talk about that as well. So it looks like this with the HomePod stereo, this AirPlay 2 will allow for what we saw from we're already seeing from these Amazon devices. Google Cast is also available, but you can play music from different speakers around the house. So you can do different audio streaming and stereo playing with your HomePod. So if you have multiple HomePods throughout the house, you can play in different rooms and such, and have it sent to different rooms. I know I think one of my favorite commercials is the where the family has the Amazon Echoes dots in all the different rooms, and dinner is ready, so they play a song. It's like come get it, or whatever it is with the phone. Come get your dinner. It's ready. Come down. So they play a song to get everybody downstairs in order to do that. Also, I think there was one where the guy calls his wife on the Alexa, with the Alexa pod, because he's locked in the garage or something. That one was pretty funny too. So it looks like the Apple will be getting in on that and bringing the multi-room streaming to your HomePod, and being able to use that through AirPlay 2 in order to be able to allow you to listen to different things throughout your houses. Obviously, we have a variety of manufacturers doing the same thing as well. But Apple was, as always, we saw the car. I talked about just they kind of contradict a little bit. The CarPlay, they get out first. They have the technology. They get out in the cars first. But now with this, they're kind of taking a step back and letting everything happen ahead of them before they jut out and announce their products. I know that Apple always very, very careful about how they do their things. Obviously, we're going to see how they start. We'll be rolling this one out, and I think it'll be just fine. They're already seeing how popular it is with these other companies. It's like, okay, well, but people who are just solely Apple people We're gonna get them in on this too. I know that the HomePod is still getting closer and closer to working how we want it to work, just like these other ones we've seen as well. So whether it's going to be connecting with each other or going to be able to use multiple HomePods with one phone, we know we can do that. Siri also will be getting an update as well, as the product is definitely going to be a little more like, you know, you got to pay those Apple premiums. I think you can get a HomePod from Google for $129, and if you order it through I saw a commercial actually, if you order your HomePod through Comcast, I think, or if you order it through Verizon or whatever, if you have a certain service, you can go in and order one and they'll give you a discounted price as well. So for those who have that, but the HomePod for Apple is going to be $349, and yeah, so it's going to be a bit of a purchase as well. So it's going to be only true Apple fans will consider this one, I think, as they're still kind of working out and getting it closer and closer to what we really want, and maybe easier to be mass sold to not only Apple fanatics, but everyone who wants a smart home device. All right, that'll wrap it up for the show today, as we have gone through a bunch of different stuff regarding your iPhones, Apple, the general data production regulation, and the Amazon Alexa stuff regarding it listening to you. Definitely advise you to go look at your Amazon Alexa app and tinker with that a little bit before you use your Alexa again. All right, we'll see you on Thursday for another edition of the GSMC Technology Podcast. Until then, everybody enjoy their week. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.